Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch. This is the Men's Room podcast with me, Tom Skinner, alongside the legend, and that is the 17th hardest footballer of all time, Neil Razor Ruddock. A reminder, you can see us and all of our amazing guests with your own eyes over on the TalkSport YouTube channel. Now, let's get into this week's podcast. Lovely, lovely people. Now we're back again, another episode, another day. It is the Men's Room TalkSport podcast, and of course it's me, Tom Skinner, and you know, my partner in crime, the 17th hardest footballer of all times, the legend, the man, the myth, Mr. Razor Ruddock.
What sort of footballer were you? Were you a player? Were you a pony?
I was all right.
Hold up. You've signed up for my charity team. I'm managing you in the summer. Bolton, we're playing in Bolton.
I know
you're telling me you're pony.
I'm all right.
What position?
Everywhere, really.
Do you? Everywhere.
I played Byron Red Star.
Byron Red Star? Yeah, where they out of?
Brentford, in ACB, okay. In Raffles Park. I played there as a kid.
Did you play any major stadiums?
No, I didn't. No. Where did you play anywhere at all? Good?
Only around the world, yeah. Massive stadiums.
Weren't you the dearest defender?
I was dearest defender in the world for a day. Listen, don't worry about football careers, obviously, because I've blown you out the water with football careers. Did you have a nice birthday?
It was lovely, thank you.
Where did you have it? Brentwood?
In the Thatcher's Arms.
In the Thatcher's. We paid our tab yet?
I paid it, yeah.
Oh, good man.
We've got in the pub, I've got to tell you this story. We've got in the pub and we'd been filming one of these podcasts, right? Well, we had no money on us, no phone charge, no nothing. No. We sat in there for 12 hours and we got a tab.
Yeah, how much was a tab in the end?
I don't know, I can't remember.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
That is the day when I woke up in your house and electrocuted myself on the light switch. My pacemaker, I swear, my pacemaker, you could have killed me. My pacemaker ain't been the same since then. I think I've got to go and get checked up.
Is it honestly been that bad?
Yes, something's wrong with it. You put me on the backside.
Do you know what? It was. I remember was lying in bed with my wife and all I heard was, ah! And I run down and you was like, oh, I've been electrocuted. and then I was like, you're all right, mate. And I remember going upstairs to my missus and she went, what happened now? She went, oh, at least it went one of the babies.
Yeah, that's all right.
Right, so,
yes.
Matty every day. Yep. I'm a big fan of Matt's. I remember when he joined us.
Do you?
West Ham, yeah. And it was a Matt, we went down to Division 1, didn't we? Do you remember?
No, I was there. I only played for him when he was in the top flight.
Yeah, I know. But we swapped him for Canute.
Freddie Canute. Was you happy with the swap? I know he sat behind the camera, but was you happy with the swap? Losing that goal machine, Freddie Canute, from Matthew Evanson. Was you happy with the swap?
Well, he was good. He was brilliant at West Ham, wasn't he?
He was good at West Ham.
He was on the wing, he was quick, you know what I mean?
So we got him here today to talk about problems. He has had problems in the past, but he's willing to talk about it, and that's what the men's room's all about.
Listen, what I love about Matt is, obviously, we're going to talk about gambling, aren't we? And I like a little gamble, but I ain't... Listen, I have a little football accumulator, little going to the casino every now and then, but I ain't never had a problem with it, you know, right? But there might be people watching this podcast that seriously can't stop gambling, and hopefully we talk to Matt today and he can help a few people.
Well, I think, in all fairness, I think it's one of the worst addictions you can have. I mean, there's drink, there's drugs, et cetera, I think with gambling now, the way that it's accessible, it's 24/7 gambling. It's on the phone, it's on the computers at home. You know, so I think it is a bad problem. I'd like to thank Matty coming here and talk to us today.
Right, so joining us on the Men's Room podcast is Matty Everton. I'm going to ask him loads of questions and drive him mad, probably.
About
how
West
are
Ham?
You, mate?
Can I just say, he did play for other teams than West Ham, and he's got other problems than West Ham. You know, if you're playing with West Ham, you've got a problem. He's got more problems than that, let me tell you. But he did play for other teams. So where did it all start? When did you grow up and, you know, football? How did you get into football?
Yeah, I was born in Cornwall.
So, was you?
Yeah, I was.
Whereabouts?
Born in Truro, lived in Falmouth, right on the coast, right by the beach. Beautiful place to live.
Why haven't you got the accent?
Because I left when I was 10.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah. And then lost the accent. All my family's still down there. My mum's still down there. Yeah, beautiful place. But then we just decided to move up and pursue, because I was doing well at the time and getting noticed by clubs and getting the spotlight a little bit. So we moved up.
Because of that area, if you just stayed in the area, do you think you'd have made it as a footballer?
I doubt it. It's really remote down there.
Isn't it?
It's really remote.
Could
it's beautiful.
You get to Bristol, you think you're there. Then you get Wexford, you think you're
Bristol.
There. And have you been down there?
Up on
that's miles and miles. Because I think about a lot of the kids go under the radar down there.
They do. There's some good talent down there.
And there is a story, because I did do in research, and you had a trial at Manchester United.
Did you? Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
Yeah, it's an experience. Yeah, so I made my debut at 15 at Peterborough, and then there's a bit of a tension. Different clubs, there's rumours of Newcastle, Kevin Keegan was manager, Tottenham were interested, and United were interested. So Barry Fry, being the salesman that he is, told us to go up there in the car and have a trial at Man United. Genuinely thought we were going to train with the youth teams. Went up and met Sir Alex. He said, right, to the kit man, he introduced himself and that.
Said,
right,
send him.
I was absolutely shitting ourselves, yeah. It's me and Simon Davis. And put us up in a hotel. It was at the Cliff, you know, the old training ground. Went up and met Sir Alex. Kit man showed us down to the change room. We went into the change room. It was the first thing, change room. I'm sat next to Teddy and Roy Keane.
Oh.
So I sat next to Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, and we're thinking, what are we doing here? I was 17, I think Si was 18, 19 years old. And yeah, we were training with them. We trained with them all week. First day, boxes, two youngest go in, we went in.
So you've got the treble winning team?
It was the year after they won the treble. The Scholes, Beckham, Keane, Nicky Buck, Gary Neville.
And he got two trials. That is awful. That could ruin a man, couldn't it?
How was it?
We couldn't get the ball. We were in there for 12 minutes. Three blocks of four, and we couldn't get the ball off them. And they didn't feel sorry for us either. No. They were literally ruthless. They just kept bang, 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 bang.
They've got to be, aren't they? Like?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Brilliant experience.
Just goes, that's why they win trebles. That's why they, you know, mentality had with Sir Alex is this is how good you've got to be.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing when we was at Liverpool, like the younger players. The first one come through Fowler, then we had Owen, Carragher, Gerrard. When they was 15, when they used to, because they was going to be, obviously going to make it, when they had school holidays, they used to train with the first team.
Yeah.
We used to treat them like adults, and used to smash them, and then you said, you know, at 17, 18, they were men, so this is how good you got to be.
Well,
so
Stephen,
I think that was a Man United mentality, because that team, what the five, they who think it was
Scholes, Butt,
Nevilles,
Beckham,
Giggs, Sharpie was still there. I mean, Sharpie was before
York,
that,
Cole,
when they was
Teddy,
younger, but Dwight, I mean, they used to treat him as adult when they were 17, so this is how good you've got to be, and obviously it did improve him. So did you get sent packing back?
So we played the friendly on the Thursday. We had our first league game for Peterborough on the Saturday, so we were going back on the Friday, but we played on the Thursday against Boca Juniors. Sir Alex was up in his office, like floor to ceiling, glass window there, looking out, watching the game. I was useless first half. Si was really good, played really well second half, but he'd left at half time. So.
Nightmare.
But no, we went back and he said he liked us and they're just going to keep monitoring us. And then in January, we went to Spurs. And going back there to what you're talking about, Gerrard and that, I remember playing with Gerrard in under-18s in Manchester at Mottram Hall. And we were doing small-sided games. I put it through his legs and went to go the other side, and he just went bosh, straight in my face. And like as if you ain't doing that to me. But that was that mentality you're talking about, do you know what I mean? It was that's why they were what they were. They were special players, and they had that mentality that, just made them what
it's
they were.
It's a little bit, isn't it? I mean, it's a difference. It's a difference between making it and making it. It's that little switch, you know what I mean?
100%.
Got a million questions to ask you. I'm going to drive you mad, So. That season when you joined West Ham, I can remember that season, we swapped you for Canute.
Yeah.
It was 2003, we had Glenn Roder, then he'd have then Trevor Brook in, do you remember that? And it was like a mad season. We lost a load of players, everyone went, and you come in, and you was good for us.
I got Hammer of the Year first year.
Yeah, you was really
one
good
of my proudest moments, because some of the players that have got that trophy are unbelievable. Well, I didn't get it.
I won Man of the Match there once.
Yeah.
When you joined, because you didn't really have a good time at Tottenham, did you really?
No, I didn't enjoy it at Tottenham.
And West Ham's a proper family club, right? Yeah. Was it a warm welcome when you come?
I had to win them over early doors.
Yeah.
Because it's a tag and it coming from Tottenham.
Yeah, from Tottenham. And like, obviously there's a rivalry there. And yeah, I remember driving to our first game at home. It was a League Cup game. And it was a beautiful summer's evening. And I was driving down and loads of West Ham fans outside the pub, etc. And they seen me. I had my window down. I shouldn't have done. And they kind of give me a look and like, what are you doing here kind of thing. You know. And I thought, oh, I've got to prove myself here. And luckily I did. First year was good. Like I said, got Hammer of the Year, we got playoff final, got beat, second year playoff final again, went up and then FA Cup final the year after that. So good times. Fell off a little bit my form because of my gambling towards the back end of my time at West Ham, and then I need to get away from London, get away from the bright lights.
I remember 2008, 2009, Zola was in charge, and I remember there was a rumour going around the lounges that you were bang on the gambling. I remember it as a kid, but obviously I was 17, 18, so it was like, oh, what's happening, Matty? Like, you know what I mean? And, and then what was happening?
What wasn't happening?
How did you get into it? Did you have been with your family gamblers?
No, history of it, nothing.
Because I think the dressing room is like a mecca for gambling. Because like the sporting life's always there. You've always got the gamblers in the corner doing their bets every morning. Was that where it started?
No, boredom. When I first went to Spurs, we got like relocated, going from Peterborough, and got put up in the Waltham Abbey Marriott for 3 months. So we found somewhere.
The old Swallow Hotel. Classic hotel.
And I just got so bored there. Going home from training, and then what do? Didn't really know London, didn't know the outskirts of London that well, Essex, etc. And Evening Standard, I was having a coffee in the lobby there, and Evening Standard was there, just flicking through it. There's a dog card at Walthamstow in it, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go along to that tonight. I just went on my own, and I loved it.
Right. And what's that wrong with dogs?
So Walthamstow was Tuesday, Thursday, Romford, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Like, it got to the point where I was going Walthamstow, Romford most nights, and it just spiralled really, where I got myself into some real trouble.
It was obviously at West Ham was when it was probably taken over the most.
It got bad at West Ham. It was. You know, when I first
did you think when you went to West Ham, that's next to Romford Dogs, that's the result?
No, I didn't. It just snowballed, like I said. It just got to the point where, joined West Ham 2003, 2005, 6 is probably when it was getting serious, you know, and I was getting myself into some real debt.
What was you earning a week at West Ham back then?
So West Ham, I earned the best money at Stoke. West Ham, I was on about 25 grand a week.
And what was you spending a week on gambling?
Wages were gone within the first 2 weeks.
Your mum's wages, you've done it all.
Yeah. And then it's lending. And then it's dealing with people who can give you money, who are paying interest. Then you've got to pay interest on that money.
Loan sharks.
Exactly, all that.
Was you getting like death threats or was you under pressure? Like, how bad was it?
It was bad. I don't want to go into too much detail. I want to save it for my book, but I had some nasty people wanting their money, and when I didn't have it, they were threatening. That's the bottom line of it.
And they were they West Ham fans?
Some of them were West Ham fans. Yeah. Like, there's one story. The dogs at Romford one night, and I probably went there with 10, 15 grand cash.
Yeah.
Done it all. Last race, I'm thinking, I need to get this money back.
Yeah.
So track one, 6-4 favourite. I went, can I have a bit on credit to the bookie? I said, I'll have 8 grand on track one. He goes, yeah, no problem. He goes, I said, I've got it in the car. I'll go and get it after the race. He goes, yeah, no problem, Matthew. No problem whatsoever. Anyway, track one's come out. It's fell on its nose. Done. Beat. I've legged it out of the dogs. I remember looking back, he was never going to catch me, and he's going, Matty, where's my money? He ended up turning up at the training ground on the Monday.
No.
He did at Chadwell Heath, and going, right, where's my 8 grand? And I went to the fella that was on the gate, said, just ignore him, I don't owe him 8 grand. But I obviously had to give it to him, but there was no rules in me. I was just any means to have a bet.
So you've trained, are you looking
over? Yeah, all over the place, yeah.
Was it affecting your football as well?
It did towards the back end of my time at West Ham, definitely. I didn't play anywhere near to the level that I played at my first 3 or 4 years. Zola was trying to help me. I had issues with my back at the time. And
Did all the players know that you was gambling?
Yeah, they did at that point, yeah. And he was trying to help me, like, one-on-one sessions and yoga and all that, and I was just nishing him off and like, no, I don't want to do it, and thinking, what am I doing? You know, when you look back on it, it's Gianfranco Zola trying to help you out. But when you're in it that deep, you can only get out of it yourself, no matter what.
There's no method in your madness.
No, there's not.
Because I just say you win. You know, I've been with someone who we all know I ain't going to say, but I've seen him win 15 grand and have a 20 grand bet. You know, he just won 15 grand and have 20 instead of like putting 10 in your pocket and having 5.
It got to the point where I was getting the same thrill losing as I was winning, weirdly. It was madness.
The stupidest, if that's such a word, the most pathetic bet you've had that you just thought you had
the
no
silliest
job.
Thing I ever did, craziest thing I ever did was I was in a lot of debt, and we're talking £1-2 million to people that I obviously you don't want to be in debt.
How long has that taken to get to that?
This is probably back end of my time at West Ham now. And I had £5,000 left in my bank account, and I opened an account with a bookmakers, turned that £5,000 within the space of a week into £540,000. Now, bearing in mind I'm in the debt that I'm in, any rational thinker...
£540,000.
Yeah. Any rational man would think, right, that's a good chunk of that debt paid
off.
Yeah,
£5 million, yeah.
But what I did is, and the way a gambler's mind thinks is, I give him 140, and I thought, right, I can turn this £400,000 into £1 million, £2 million, whatever that may be. Before you knew it, within the week that I made that £540,000, I'd done £400,000 back. And that's when you know you've got an issue.
Jeez, I'm sorry, not to laugh.
What was you betting on?
Just horses and, like, dogs. It got to the point then as well where I was staying up through the night and basketball and all stuff like that. Stuff I didn't have a clue about. Yeah, it got me into a bad place, real bad place.
What's the lowest you've ever been?
Probably my family sat around the table in tears. Seeing stuff in the papers, knowing what he was doing to me, but most importantly, seeing what he was doing to them, now I was affecting them, because
it's
selfish.
Your mood swings as well.
Yeah.
I know it's financial, it's a massive part of family life, but, you know, your mood swings, you're not making it an happy place, an happy household, are you?
Yeah. No, definitely not.
So it was affecting everyone. Yeah. It was affecting your mates as well, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Close friends. It comes to a point where people give in on you, I think, a little bit as well.
Did you feel like your friends had walked away from you?
They didn't walk away, but they kept a distance from me. And luckily now I've still got relationships with them because I've come out the other side of it. But there was definitely a point where they had to keep me at arm's length.
So do you think when it did come out in the papers and you know the world knew, do you think that was a relief to you, or did it make you go the other way?
Made me go the other way.
Did it?
Because they were talking nonsense, some of it. There was a story that went in one paper. So I went into a bookies in Loughton, William Hill, and I'd done £5,000 in there, and there was a pound on the floor, and I picked it up and put it into the machine, and all nonsense like that. Do you know what I mean? And
I'm thinking,
exactly. That's them in a nutshell. But
you didn't, but you put it in your pocket.
But they just dramatised everything.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I just thought you in many respects, and I'm going to do what I want. That's kind of the mentality I had at that time.
So how are you now?
All good, thankfully. Yeah.
Is it a battle? Is it like battle every day?
Do
you know what? Luckily for me, I don't. Obviously, I've got to keep it. Yeah. You know, keep it in the back of my mind that where I was to where I am now. But thankfully, it's not the first thing I think about when I wake up, and it's not the last thing I think about before I go to bed. I don't really think about it anymore. Genuinely.
Good. Do you have to go to meetings?
I used to. I don't anymore.
Do you still gamble now? Honestly,
No, I don't. No, I completely. Yeah, well done, mate.
And how long you've been?
Probably now. What are we? 2024. 15 years.
Good boy, mate.
Good boy. Thank you.
Good boy.
And like I said, I don't really think about it anymore, thankfully. But I've got to keep it.
Yeah, got to keep
back
it
there and remember where I was. I've got to be mindful of that. But
can you watch at home Saturday afternoon? Can you watch football?
Can you watch horse racing?
Can you watch?
No, I don't watch horse racing.
You don't watch that's a trigger, is it?
Probably, it'll probably just switch my mind back to where, and I've got no real interest in horse racing.
Only interest, I love watching, I can watch your GGs all day long, don't have a bet.
How long did it take you to pay off your gambling debts?
I think it took me a good 5 or 6 years.
But you've done them.
But I did
clean.
Yeah.
And anyone watching
anyone
watching this podcast now, who's even if it's only a grand AO or 500 quid to maybe 50, 60,000 pounds, what advice would you give someone struggling with gambling, how to get out of trouble, and what can they do that you've done to help you?
You hear it all the time, but it helped me massively. Firstly, one day at a time. Just say, I'm not going to have a bet today. That for me broke it all down where, okay, I'm not going to have a bet today. Then one day turns into two, et cetera, et cetera. Secondly, you need good people around you. Luckily for me, I did. Otherwise, I don't know where I'd be, genuinely. Yeah. And you need to be honest and you need to open up. And only you will know when that time's right. Because as an addict, you're so selfish.
Oh, yeah.
So selfish.
You've you become a liar.
Yeah, liar. You don't value anyone in your life, et cetera. So coming clean's the biggest thing, and being honest, because it just takes a huge weight off your shoulders. But you've got to be ready to do that, and sometimes it's not easy to get to that point.
Was it hard to come clean to like your wife?
Yeah, it was.
Because you're in denial, weren't you?
Yeah, like you are.
I had a drinking problem back in the day. You just deny and lie.
It is that. You are in denial, exactly that. Yeah. And then you've got a real, you've got to work on yourself. So I went to GA for a number of years, spoke openly, honestly, and then... Yeah, you just got to work through that point where you get yourself, and it, like I said, it took me 5 or 6 years that you can move on with your life then, you know? So it's not easy. It's not easy, mate, I promise you right now.
But I think when you do go to meetings, you're not alone, are you?
No, you're not. That's the biggest thing I took from that.
They're not shocked. You don't have to lie to people.
No, you feel like you're alone at the time, though, don't you? Until you go to those meetings and you feel like there's like-minded people, and I'm not the only donut that's done this, you know? So, yeah, that was big, and those meetings did help. Definitely.
So that boredom was your...
It was purely boredom, yeah, it was. And then it just snowballed from there.
I mean, because especially as a footballer, it is, you know, you're training. When you go to a new club, you're training locked in a hotel. I bet you was in the hotel at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well,
and you don't leave that hotel till 9 o'clock next morning.
Then you have a dinner. What are you doing for the rest of the evening? Do you know what I mean? I'm not pleading poverty. Like, obviously, it's good that we're at a Premier League club and a hotel. But I was bored. That's the bottom line. Yeah, I was bored.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
At the minute, a couple of high-profile players have been they've been banned from football. Ivan Toney and Tonali play for Newcastle.
Yeah.
Was that a problem with you, football betting?
Not really, no. No. Obviously, there is... When I was playing, there was players that had problems as well as I did. I don't think they had problems like my extent, to be honest, and weren't in the debt and the trouble that I was in, but there was players that loved the punt. And I remember at West Ham, we had a card school. We had a card school.
And I think everyone, on the coach.
All cash, thousands of, you know, so it is a problem within football, I think.
It is a culture, betting culture in the football. Yeah, but drinking, back in my day, drinking and betting culture.
Yeah, not a good place to be.
No. Sorry. So you end up in Sporting Chance. Did you do it yourself, or did you have people?
I went myself first time.
And Sporting Chances, it was Tony Adams started that.
Yeah, too. Peter Kay headed it up.
I was in Sporting Chances for drinking in 2004, 2005, and Peter Kay was there.
Yeah, he's passed
Tony
away
Adams,
now.
Yeah, he did, yeah. God bless him. Yeah. And, Tony Adams started it.
Yeah.
And it's in Champions.
Yeah, that's it, right next to it. It was lovely, but I went there twice. First time I went, didn't really work for me, because like I said, you've got to be ready to give it stop yourself. And then second time, I went back and got a little bit of value from it. It was towards the back end of my time at West Ham, early time at Stoke. And they did brilliant work, all funded by the PFA and Tony Adams. That did help me, definitely.
I know, I've got another West Ham question to ask you, sorry.
We can cut them and we can put them in.
I managed West Ham last year
in
America.
Yeah, the All-Stars.
And Anton Ferdinand said, Padre was like chocolate. He could eat himself. He loved himself. That's what he said. He said he's a proper man's manager. And he was the nuts.
He's good,
but he was in love with himself. Yeah, right. That's what Anton Ferdinand said. Not me.
Is Anton Ferdinand true? You ain't
saying
it. Do you know what? I've been out with Padre a few times, Travis. I think he's a lovely.
I love him.
I would have loved him to be my manager.
Who was your favourite manager at West Ham? Basically,
it's probably him. It was. Yeah. When he first
and he
signed.
Got, do you think, sorry to interrupt, do you think he got a lot of unfair stick for being so, you know, chocolatey?
He was just confident in himself.
He was a geezer, wasn't he?
I think he got more and more confident the more and more success he had, if that makes sense. I think when he first came to West Ham, he had something to prove.
Yeah.
But then obviously with Cup Final, playing in Europe, etc., then going to Newcastle, Palace and that, I just think, like, you know, self-confidence not a bad thing, is it?
But I find him.
Yeah,
right.
He was brilliant for me. Absolutely brilliant, and a brilliant man manager. He said when he first joined, he's going to build a team around me. Like I was a player that wanted to hear that. Do you know what I mean? And he knew that. And I had really good times under him.
FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Cardiff 2006.
Can I ask a question about that? Who was it? Because you had the throw in last night. You had a throw and they threw it to someone.
Argentina manager now and he just won the World Cup.
That's him.
Yeah, it's him.
He could have kicked it anywhere in the world.
I know.
Don't kick it to Steven Gerrard. He was last minute, man. Last minute, you had a fullback, fullback. You're throwing and he hooked it to Steven Gerrard.
Pardew told Nigel Rialkoka to, because Steven Gerrard was the only one that was going to win that game for him or get him back in the game, to man mark him. And he's give him 2 yards. And everyone's
That's all Gerrard needs, isn't he?
He ain't shooting from there.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the way he struck that ball, it was incredible. It wasn't meant to be, unfortunately, but it's hard.
I think the thing is, because I obviously played with both, but I wanted.
Who did you support on the day?
3-3 draw, right? no, I think I was on Talk Sport and they said, I just want a good game, 3-3. I didn't want to upset, what I mean? But every West Ham fan I see out of that was so proud of you.
Yeah, we
do you know what I mean? Because you give it a good go. You could have gone down, rolled over the occasion, but West Ham give it a good go. And I think you would have been proud of them. The way they went out there and just got done. Do you know what I mean? So I think every West Ham, and that was one of the finals. I can't remember a lot of finals open that era, but you remember that one, don't you?
Yeah, everyone does. Matt, mate, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And he's been so excited all week. He's been ringing me.
No, thank you for coming. And
thanks for coming.
Thank you for talking about the things of gambling, because it will help a lot of people, you know?
That's why I do it,
And I'm glad you're in a good place now, mate.
Thank you, I appreciate
it. Keep
it
going.
Will do.
Nice.
How good was that, Matt Aaron, in the men's room?
It's an unbelievable story, just through boredom, you know what I mean? Sat in a hotel on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It led to a spiral, a downward spiral. But what a lovely lad.
Nice man. But isn't it scary how quick you can get yourself into that sort of trouble?
Yeah. And you think you're doing no wrong. That's the worst thing about addiction. You think it's okay, I'm not hurting anyone, I'm only hurting myself, but you're not hurting anyone around you.
That's the thing. I mean, there must be so many people watching this. And if anyone's watching this and you are struggling with gambling, go to begamblerware.com or .org or just put in Google gamblerware.
Yeah, someone will help you. It's good to talk. Get it off your chest.
Oh man, I love you, Rays.
I love you.
I love
too.
Doing this, mate.
I love
this. This is like the best job ever, isn't it?
It's a great job.
We're just
dude.
Like
we're meeting amazing people with amazing stories.
It's just blinding it. Like, mate, listen, I love watching Matty at West Ham.
I didn't know that.
Do you know what I mean? But he was brilliant. He was quick. He was everywhere.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Have you got his phone number yet?
No, I'm going to ask for his phone number and drive him mad.
Yeah, I know you are. Like everyone else, you do.
Yeah, so guys, if you are struggling with gambling, go to begambleaware.org and there's loads on there to talk about, to look at, to read, to help you with your gambling. If you've got a problem, don't keep it bottled up. go and talk to someone. The first rule to getting out of a gambling addiction is to talk about your problems and admit you're struggling.
In life, right, if you're drowning, what would you do? You put your hand up and ask for help, wouldn't you?
No, you'd swim.
So you got to do, ask for help.
If you're drowning, you'd swim.
Yeah, but if you can't swim and you're drowning, listen, if you're in trouble, if you was drowning, you put your hand up in the air and you'd ask for help. Mm. If you're in trouble in life, put your hand up, ask for help, people will help you.
Yeah.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.